This parable of the Good Samaritan is one of those parables that we almost know too well. We almost know it too well because it's easy for us to then kind of step back and maybe not hear it, understand it, recognize that it might have a different way to speak to us at a different time, a different moment in our lives. Now, as this gospel begins, we hear a lawyer who stands up to test Jesus. And to kind of put this back into the context where it came from, is the 70 had just been sent out. The 70 had come back. They had had great success. Jesus reminds them that they were working under his authority, not under some power of their own. And the lawyer comes to Jesus with this question. He says, "Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus, of course, we see this throughout the Gospels in many places. He always seems to know what's going to happen or how these conversations are going to go. Jesus rarely answers a question with an answer. He often answers a question with another question. And so here again, he says, "What's written in the law? What do you read there?" And so the lawyer responds, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And Jesus tells him, "This is the right answer. Do this, and you will live." Now, easily enough, the entire story could have stopped right there. The entire story could have been to the end. But I don't know about any of you, when I've gone to a number of years of school, okay? And there was always that one kid that you already have your book put away, you close your notebook, you're done taking notes, the teacher's wrapping things up, and they have to ask another question. And you just, the whole class lets out a groan. "Oh, really? Another question?" And that's what it feels like here in this moment, that the lawyer is taking it that one step further and asking that one more question when he could have just left it alone and we could have all just been happy with the gospel where it ended. And so we are told that wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus, "Who is my neighbor?" You see, the lawyer wanted this to be a narrow definition. He wanted this to be something simple that he could do, something simple that he could follow, something simple that would take him forward in his own life. But what we also know about Jesus is often when a simple answer could be given, the answer gets even more complex. The answer gets bigger. The answer gets wider. The answer takes us out into a different place. Now, I think we know how this parable plays out. We've heard it spoken. We've heard it many other times. So I want to take you in a completely different direction. So I want you to hold on for a minute, because we're going to go in a way that you haven't maybe thought of this before. And I want to start by saying, as Lutherans, as the people of God gathered here in this place, the very first question that the lawyer asks should perk our ears up. What must I do to inherit eternal life? Now, for those of you who have been raised Lutheran your whole life, some of you have come to being Lutheran later in life, but there's nothing we can do to inherit eternal life. Eternal life is part of the grace and the love of God given to us. So right away, your ears should perk up and be like, something's off. Now, nothing's off with Scripture, just something's off with my Lutheran understanding of the way things should be. So we hear that question, and right away we begin to think, but what does this mean for us? How is it then that I hear the rest of this parable in a different way? Well, so often when we hear parables, we try to put ourselves in one of the roles in the parable, right? You've ever done this? You've decided who you are in the parable? Okay, we've all done that before. So you have some choices, right? You get to be I mean, you get to be a priest, a Levite, a Samaritan. You get to be one of the robbers if you want to. I don't suggest that role, but you can take it if you want. But I think the role that we would often overlook is maybe the role that as Lutherans we need to hear the clearest. Maybe the role that we need to be in is the role of the one in the ditch. And the reason for that is very simple. Because everybody else in the story had power from the sense that they could make a decision for themselves, they could decide whether they were going to intervene or not in this situation. And to look at anyone in this entire pericope, I would say we've all been the lawyer at times. We all ask Jesus of times, what's the thing I can do to get around this whole loving everybody thing that you want me to do? What's this other thing I can do? We've all done it. Sometimes we're like the priest or the Levite. When we see danger, when we see someone in need, we walk as far away as we can on the other side of the road because we don't want to deal with it. We're afraid. We're whatever it might be. Maybe there's more robbers waiting. Maybe it's a trap. Maybe whatever it is. And so we want to pass by on the other side. And it's really easy to say, well, I'm just going to be like the Samaritan. I'm just going to jump in and help anybody who has need. And it would be easy on some level to simply say, be like the Samaritan, and everything goes a little bit easier. But you see, these words don't hit in our ear the same way as they hit in the ears of those who first heard this story. So take a moment. Imagine yourself in the ditch. You're beaten up, you're naked, you're defenseless. And at first, I'm going to say this much. You can see what's going on around you. You can't cry out, but you can see what's going on around you. So you're laying in the ditch. You see the priest walk by, going as far away from you as you can. You see the Levite go by, walking as far away as he can. And then you see a Samaritan approaching you. Now, this is the part we don't understand. You need to imagine for a moment who is the person in this world that you are most afraid of. If there's anyone in this world you're afraid of, who's the person you're most afraid of? Because that's the person who's walking up to you laying there in the ditch. The person that you are the most afraid of. Now, something amazing happens in the midst of this parable. We are told that this Samaritan, as he is approaching the man in the ditch, he's moved with compassion. He's moved in his guts. There's a great Greek word. I hardly ever teach you Greek words, and you're not going to remember this Greek word, but the Greek word is splagizomai, your guts. He was moved in his guts with compassion, with mercy, with wanting to care for this man. Now, I have to imagine for a moment that the man in the ditch might have been moved to the guts, but with a different response. The other emotion that comes from our guts is disgust. That's the other emotion that can come from our guts. When something, we're so disgusted by something that you get sick to your stomach, that comes from the same place. So that compassion, that mercy from coming from within, disgust can come from that as well. So this man laying in the ditch, we don't know what he's thinking, but maybe he's feeling disgust that this one, his enemy, would come and care for him. But what that Samaritan does for the man who is beaten, he cares for him, shows him that compassion from within, cleans his wounds, binds them up, puts him on his animal, and takes him to an inn. Takes him to a place where he can heal, where he can be restored, where he can return to full strength back to whatever it was that he was doing before he started down that road that day. You see, there's another reason why we have to imagine ourselves as the one in the ditch. And it goes back to the question that the lawyer asks. The lawyer says, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" Well, when faced with that question, there is nothing we can do. I already said that. We receive that as a gift from God, through the grace of God. So before God, before Jesus, before the one who offers us life and health and freedom and hope and all of those things, we are like the one who is naked and beaten in the ditch. Because there's nothing that we can do ourselves to earn the grace and the love of God. Again, given to us as a gift. But there's a second part. And there's a second part that also, as Lutherans, sometimes we like to ignore. And the second part is that when God has given you, has shown you that much grace, when God has shown you all the mercy in the world, when God has given you a gift that you could never repay in your life, how do you live in response to that gift? How do you live a life with the faith to show that you carry that gift with you every day? And I think then that's a moment where we can see those words called to us as people gathered here, go and do likewise. How is it that we can show mercy? How is it that we can show the mercy that has been first given to us as a free gift? How can we show that grace and mercy to one another? And this, of course, is the hard part. This, of course, is the hard part because, like those in the parable, sometimes we will let fear keep us from sharing that love, of being that person that Christ has made us to be. Sometimes fear will keep us from doing it. Sometimes the worry about our own self-care will keep us from caring about others. But we have this gift. And what are we going to do with it? Just yesterday, we have this thing that happens here every couple of weeks. And I always say, if you're the type of person that the only time you walk into Bethesda is on Sunday morning, then you miss a lot of the stuff that goes on at Bethesda. Because there are a lot of other things going on. So if you only come on Sunday morning, you miss a lot of other stuff. Well, yesterday morning, you could see that the way we respond to the grace and love of God is that we feed people who are hungry. They come and we serve them, we care for them, we put food in their car, we send them on their way. It's part of what we do as a response to what God has first given us. Last night, the parking lot was full out here. Anybody know what was going on last night? Once a month, we have an AA speakers meeting here at Bethesda. We open up our parish hall so that they can come and gather and have that time in a safe place together with a bunch of people. And the parking lot is full on a Saturday night because we've opened the doors. Part of how we show the grace and the love and the mercy of God is we open up our doors to those who need a place to gather. And there's lots of other ways that we can respond to God's grace and love and mercy in our own lives. But so often we have to get out of the way of that. because sometimes we're the barrier between God and our neighbor. We're the barrier between God and our neighbor. We want to make the neighbor the barrier, but sometimes we're that barrier because sometimes we're not quite ready to reach out to someone else. So this definition of neighbor, this definition of the one of who we are to care for, is much larger than we want to think sometimes. If you were to look at anyone and say, is that my neighbor? The answer is yes. Is that my neighbor? Yes. Is that my neighbor? Yes. But then the next part is to actually live like that person's my neighbor, and that person's my neighbor, and that person's my neighbor. And that's the harder part. And honestly, that's part of the reason why we come and gather here week after week after week. Because we've gone out, we've done the things, and sometimes we succeed, sometimes we fail, and sometimes we have to gather back together. We have to circle back and be like, God, I heard you. I almost tried. I didn't quite follow. So tell me again. What am I supposed to do? We come here, we share that message over and over again. This week, there's been a song that's been in my mind. It's a song that we sing quite often, that we've sung quite often here. And it seems to fit in the midst of everything that we've learned about. It's not right here. So I'll just remember the words as best I can. And you'll help me, because you'll know them. But one of those songs that we sing is, create a clean heart in me, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with your free spirit. We come here every week to have our hearts created anew. We come here each week so we can find the joy of our salvation, the joy given to us when God gives us that gift of life and grace and freedom and all of those things. We come here to share in that joy of that salvation. And we pray over and over again to God to not take that Holy Spirit from us. Because without that Spirit moving among us, then we're bound to not do anything. We're bound to not respond to the grace we've been given. And so we're here because we're constantly in need of healing. We're here because we're constantly in need of restoration. We're here because we're hungry and we can come and be fed. We're here to be reminded that we have died and have been raised to new life. We're here because together we are the body of Christ. And together, we can do all of these things through Christ who strengthens us. Amen.